Here's Glenn Healy from Hockey Night in Canada. And Heels, I mean, are you on the same page?
Well, what do you think the PA is there for, to provide hockey equipment for kids in Bosnia?
Pretty much, that's what I figured.
Or fix Haiti all on their own?
Yeah, well, and to invest the players' money in wise ways.
My mind, this is a winnable situation for the NHLPA.
Well, I think it's unless the NHL has a smoking gun, it's a no-brainer for the PA, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple steps have to go forward. First. You have to get a system arbitrator to hear this. There is no system arbitrator right now with the PA or the NHL. Both sides can't agree on one.
Oh, good. Shocking. So you need an arbitrator to find an arbitrator.
There's no chance that they would just let Richard Block, who is the regular arbitrator, hear this?
Well, it's one of. So both sides can't agree on somebody long term. So as a result, they'll get somebody to hear this. I tell you what, guys, I would want to be the arbitrator because I guarantee one thing. Whatever decision he comes up with, bye-bye.
You're only doing it once, right?
Because the other guy, whatever side he decides on, if he decides that the contract is legal and the PA's correct in their assertion, which a lot of people believe they are, and me included, then he's as good as gone from the league standpoint because they can fire him immediately. But, you know, you have to lay it out. I mean, the league looks at it this way, and they say, okay, the length is certainly something we've never seen. We've never seen 17 years. We've never approved a long-term contract for anybody who's over 44, and this guy will be 44 when he finishes. And the last 6 years of the deal, it averages out to less than a mil. And the last 5 years, he's probably going to be making less than the minimum in the National Hockey League, which, you know, that there, the arbitrator might look at that with kind of a squirrely eye. But the player standpoint, you know, they look at it in a much different way, and they'll say, well, listen, you approve the Pronger contract, and
right. He's
going to be 42, and you approve Zetterberg, and he'll finish at 39, and Hossa will finish at 41. So why all of a sudden now do you have your antenna up? And you approve Rick DiPietro, who's going to be playing to 38. I don't even know if he's going to play 38 more games, but he's going to 38. So, you know, the players are, you know, from their standpoint, they have a cap on rookie salaries. They have a cap on rookie bonuses. They have a cap on, you know, the salary increases you can get in your second deal. They've got a cap on the top player on any team. They've got a cap on the team. And now they're saying, now you want to cap the length of the deals? Like, what next?
Well, let's face it, Glenn, you know this as well as I do. During the work stoppage, they wanted to cap the length of deals.
Well, sure they did, and I would imagine that when they sit down in their war room in New York and both sides try to hammer out a collectively bargained deal, that term of contract will be something that now is a bane in the rear end of the New York offices, and they'll want to change that for sure. But you've got to, you know, you have a document there. It's hundreds and hundreds of pages of blubber and blather, and, you know, certainly something like the length of deals. You know, you have to collectively bargain. You just don't make it up as you go along and say, hey, you know what, this rule is pretty good for us, and I think we're just going to go ahead and change it. You can't do that. And when we talked last week and we talked about the deal, you know, and from my standpoint, when I look at this by the letter of the law with the CBA in mind, I don't see anything that is illegal in the deal. That being said, you know, this is their chance maybe to take, long-term deals out of the hands of collective bargaining and find a way to win it, you know, with an arbitrator. And then that's a whirlwind windfall for the league.
Here's a question I would ask Gary if I had him sitting in front of me, or Bill or whoever it would happen to me. And I'd say, all right, I understand you don't like this. I understand it's a manipulation of the spirit of the collective bargaining agreement. I get all that. But you know what? You didn't close that door. And if you were smart, and these are smart guys, you should have known that something like this, there was going to be manipulation of this agreement. That aside, besides the fact that you're angry that somebody would try and manipulate the CBA, what the hell's wrong with it?
Well, and I think we have to be clear here, guys. This is not a loophole. This is not a manipulation. This is just following the letter of the law of the CBA, which allows you to do it.
But what do you think? At the core, Heels, what are they worried about?
Well, I think you're absolutely right when you talk about the spirit of the deal. I think when they put the 100% rule in, it was so that you wouldn't have contracts loaded up at the end when the GM was gone. And, you know, all of a sudden, someone looks at it and says, "Well, we can, you know, put money lower at the back end, get the cap number we like, and everything's good.
Yeah.
And we should be very clear, guys. Like when Kovalchuk is making 11.5 in his third year, and his cap number is $6 million, the players are also going to be paying the 11.5 goes into their escrow.
Right.
Not the six. The full donut. Mm-hmm. So they're getting hit every way to Sunday. It's the team that's the one that gets the cap numbering. Keeps the player for 2 decades potentially, and I don't even know how old Lou Lamoriello will be at that time. He's got to be in his mid-80s by the time this thing's done. But you know what? They didn't close it. They had the other side on the mat and probably could have rewrote anything they wanted, and this one slipped through. So obviously some of those high-priced $4 million a month lawyers in New York haven't done their job. At least they, looking at it now, they haven't done their job because the league doesn't like it. But whether you like it or you don't like it, you have to collectively bargain for it.
That's right. This is colossal incompetence on the part of those who created this, a 600-page document that you can drive a truck through. And the GMs and the agents,
they have driven a truck through.
They have.
Yeah.
The one I love is if you're 35 and you sign a deal, if you get abducted by aliens or die, the money still goes on the cap. So there's lots in there that's worthwhile reading if you you don't have a lot to
Are you trying to say there's no aliens?
I don't think so. I mean, I did see some abduction going on late last year in August, but that's another issue altogether.
I tell you what, I mean, to me, the biggest difference is you talked about the DiPietro deal and other deals. There's a big difference between DiPietro making $4.5 million in year 15 and Ilya Kovalchuk making $550,000 in year 17.
Yeah, some people, you know, at 11.5 won't think Kovalchuk will play at both ends of the ice. Give him 550 at 44.
he may not leave the faceoff circle at center ice.
He might just be like Jacques Plante. You're just playing the home games, and that's it. But yeah, you know what? To me, the PA has everything clearly in their kind of landing strip. But from the league standpoint, why wouldn't you say, you know, hey, we've had enough of these deals, and it's only going to continue until we can collectively bargain it. So let's see if we can get an arbitrator to take it out, and let's see if we can get someone to get some common sense in this. But that being said, that doesn't mean that their position is right.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm glad that the PA has fought for this player. And this player, you know, $102 million, that's a ton of money. And you can argue whether he's worth it or he's not. That's not the argument. Someone's decided that he's worth it.
Yeah.
Somebody in
yeah.
the league. And there were three suitors on board.
Two in the NHL, one in the KHL.
Yeah, and, you know, this guy's going to make a lot of money no matter what. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just can't make up the rules as you go along.
Not to put you on the spot, but why isn't Donald Fehr front and center in this?
Well, I would imagine that nobody from the PA will be arguing this. This goes right to outside legal counsel.
Nussbaum and those guys won't be running all of this?
I would think this one's pretty significant. And, it's one where, you know, you absolutely have to fight for this. This is precedent beyond precedent, where all of a sudden now you're starting to, you know, again, the length of deals comes into play, and you've got to fight for that. Guaranteed contracts, length mm-hmm. of deals. I mean, these are things that... again, in 2004, we're bargained for, agreed to by both sides, and I believe that you stand up to that agreement until you decide that agreement has to be ripped up and you can get a new one. And when you get the new one, then both sides can decide what they want in and out of the deal. Because I imagine players are going to be knocking on the door saying, we had enough of this escrow thing.
Do you know, will there be witnesses called? Is this like a hearing, a real hearing? So would a Batman of Fear possibly be called?
You brought up a good point because, you know, when I look at it, the one thing, the smoking gun you're talking about, and it's that, you know, we hope that Jay has been clean here, that there hasn't been any communique between him and any of the other teams saying, listen, hush, hush, wink, wink, the player's not going to play the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And if that has happened, I can see then where the Los Angeles Kings and the Islanders might be saying, okay, hold on a minute here. Like,
yeah.
We're not going to play nice in the sandbox because we're in the compete game. We had a player locked and loaded, and all of a sudden somebody found a way to give him a longer term, a better cap number for the team, more escrow for the players, but, you know, who cares? They got the player, and we didn't get probably the best unrestricted free agent that has been out there, certainly over the past number of years. This guy can score. He can put the puck in the back of the net, and you certainly pay for that. And New Jersey's not shying away from spending money. I mean, they're sitting eighth most for payroll right now in the NHL, and that's a club that needs to win, needs to make the playoffs to make money, and needs to make a splash in their new building in probably the dumpiest area I've ever seen a hockey team play in.